Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska, this is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from the mushing capital of the world, Willow, Alaska. And sitting beside me is my co-host, Michelle Forto. It is a rainy Sunday morning here in Willow. Michelle, how's it going?
You know, it's going well. I'm glad for the rain. It's the first good rain we've had this season. Because, you know, on May 17th, we had a snowstorm come through.
We did. And, you know, I think that the sled dogs are enjoying it, too. Some of them are even laying out in the grass in the cool rain. So I think they enjoy it as well.
That's right. You know, we went from a snowstorm on May 17th to 80 degrees just a week later. So it was quite the weather shock for us.
You know, 80 degrees is pretty dang hot for this part of the country. Record-breaking temperatures for the Mat-Su Valley. So 80 degrees for a sled dog is pretty dang warm, as well as for any dog that is out and about, especially doing summer activities such as hiking, camping, etc.
Yeah, and if I can just throw it out there, I'll give a Dog Talk Radio tip for those pet owners out there. When the temperature does change that extremely and that quickly, you really need to be wise to dehydration, and make sure that your dogs do get ample amounts of water.
That is right. So just for folks that are tuning in, you're listening to Dog Works Radio. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Dog Works Radio. And, of course, all of our archive shows are on dogworksradio.com, our whole family of shows, including the Side Vibe, Mushing Radio, Mush You Huskies, Dog Works Radio, and the brand new Dog Talk Radio that we host from a local studio here in Palmer, Alaska. Michelle is the host for that, and she gives all sorts of dog training experience and knowledge. Today, we're going to talk to a recurring guest. Her name is Charmaine Hammond. She's calling in from rainy Alberta, Canada. They're getting their share of the wet stuff as well. She has been on the show before talking about her beloved Toby, and she just came out with a brand new book called Toby, The Pet Therapy Dog Says, Be a Bully, a Buddy, Not a Bully. Charmaine, how is it going?
Great. We're also getting the rain here, but otherwise we're doing great.
So what is happening down there in your neck of the woods there in southern Canada? How is life treating you down there?
Life is great. We just returned from a few months away in California, and we returned back to no snow. We came back right at the right time. We didn't get a snowstorm in May like you guys did.
You know, we have a lot of musher friends down that way. What kind of snow conditions do you guys have in the winter? Do you guys get a lot, or is it one of those blowing snowstorms that kind of rolls in and then melts and moves on down the way?
Where we are, we get snow and it's days. Last year we had snow at Halloween and it didn't leave until the end of April, so lots of snow. But it's great for people who love outdoor sports. You can ski for 8 months of the year, you can dog sled, you can skijour, and we live on a lake here, so we can certainly get out on the lake in the winter.
Very cool. So Charmaine, for folks that may not know your name, Charmaine Hammond, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you have your own show as well.
I do, and I've had the pleasure of interviewing you, so this is so fun to have me on the other side of the desk today, being the guest. I'm a radio host, but I'm also an author. I've written several books about our dog, Toby, who we were fortunate to have in our life for 5.5 years, and he was a real inspiration for me. I'm also a professional speaker, so this dog gave me all kinds of topics to share with my corporate audiences, as well as the audiences that are in the pet industry, such as animal rescue shelters and pet businesses.
And tell us a little bit about your radio show. Like you said, I've been on before. I know it's a very popular radio show, especially here in the pet industry and as well on Blog Talk Radio. What's that all about?
Well, Positive Radio, and of course I spell everything that's positive, P-A-W, but Positive Radio does run on Blog Talk. And every week we interview guests that are in the pet industry in some capacity. So, for example, we had you on the show, Robert, talking about dog sledding and how to train dogs to be on a sled team. We have guests that talk about animal rescue initiatives, and we've also had dog trainers, dog health experts, veterinarians, and we've even had folks that are involved in the animal-assisted therapy roles, much like we did with our dog, Toby. So it's a very widespread show in terms of the topics that we offer. But what I love most about the show is getting people together to share their stories about animals. I've discovered that animals connect people. They give us lots to talk about.
I do. You know, we've been on the air 4.5 years now talking about canine training and everything just about you can do with your dog. So it's definitely a great platform. We've had great response from all of our listeners and friends and fans that listen to our radio. So I wish you the best on there as well. Does it air at a particular time, particular day? I know it's a monthly show, right?
Yeah, every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Pacific time, which is 9 Mountain time, and it's a 30-minute show Tuesday nights on Blog Talk.
So it's
every
a weekly
week.
Show.
It is. It is. We've just found that there's so many amazing people out there. We can't just do it monthly. We've got to do it weekly now.
Very cool. Well, I always like listening to it. It comes on my podcast, so I do listen to it from time to time, and you do great work over there as well. So before we get started about the new book, can you give us a little bit of history about Toby and, you know, what he did for you guys in your lives and how he came about, you know, that sort of stuff?
Sure. I love talking about Toby. Toby was our Chesapeake Bay Retriever that we adopted when he was 5.5 years old. And so he came to us in what we thought was a perfect package. This dog was quiet, other than the big bark when there was something to bark about, but he's well-behaved and quiet and just kind of followed us all over. And once he settled in, it took about 6 months, once he settled into our home and he knew he was here to stay, he started to show his true colors, and we noticed that he had a fetish for breaking toilet tank lids. I don't know what that was about, but we had to replace 6 toilets in his life. And he had a lot of separation anxiety. So we had to go on a journey of trying to figure out how to help this dog. And in that process, he became an incredible teacher for my husband, Christopher, and I.
And he did some work as a therapy dog as well, right?
He did. And what was so interesting is it was sort of like the therapy role became therapy for Toby. And how that came about was we had to call in a behaviorist, Robert. He had wrecked our house so many times that whatever we knew, we're not dog trainers, we're, you know, a pet family. So we tried everything we knew. We watched videos. We got trainers in. We immediately talked to our vet to make sure that there was nothing medical that was causing his behavior. And then when the behaviorist Maggie came in, she discovered that Toby was really a dog who needed a job and a purpose. And she was the one that connected us with the local animal-assisted therapy organization. And he worked for 4.5 years every week in a mental health hospital for adults. It completely changed his behavior around.
Were you the pet partner with Toby when you guys went to the hospital or the center there?
I was. And what was so interesting for me was that it became something that I looked forward to every week, not just because Toby and I got to be together for this incredible bonding moment and for me to see the work that he did with people, but also I got the opportunity to meet some wonderful human beings and see the impact that Toby had on them, but also the impact that they had on Toby in helping change his behavior. So it really was, it was sort of like his therapy program, even though he was there giving therapeutic support to people.
Very cool. Michelle, you had a question about where we're at now?
Well, more of a comment. I think that if more and more people would realize that having a pet is a wonderful thing to have in your life, but a lot of times, like Charmaine is saying, Some of the time, the pet isn't just a pet. They are here for a different purpose, and it's their job to show you and push you into a different world that you may not have entered in on your own. Very few people think about becoming a animal-assisted therapy partner, or, you know, my program, dogs, dogs assisting with grace, they don't think about providing therapy until they have a dog that gives them the idea. It's, people don't go and choose a dog because, oh, I'm going to become a therapy team. So I think that it's a beautiful story, and it's a great way to get people out there to understand that your dog might just be in your life for a different reason other than laying on the floor next to the fire.
Charmaine, you had a comment for that?
Beautifully said, and I couldn't agree with you more. And really, I think that's what Toby was here to do in our life. He really came in to shake it upside down, help me become a better person, but also to give me a new purpose in life and something that we could do together. And I would not have considered or thought of therapy, a therapy job for Toby, especially the fact that he was breaking toilets and destroying my house. I kind of had a hard time wrapping my head around seeing this dog being in a hospital. And what was so interesting, the minute he walked through the door, he knew exactly what he needed to do. And he was just so confident and certain of himself and just so incredibly gentle with everyone that he met. It was really kind of an intuitive process to watch.
Very cool. And I know your first book, the first time you and I spoke a couple of years ago, was called On Toby's Terms. I'm sure that's still available. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
It is still available. On Toby's Terms was my very first book. I hadn't planned on being an author, but Toby had big ideas for me and gave me lots of content. And so that book came out, became a bestseller, and it's available on Amazon and in the bookstores. And it really is a story about our journey with Toby and how his role as a therapy dog started to become lessons for us in life. So he taught me about patience and persistence and showing up as my best version of myself, and also the importance of having a purpose.
We're talking to Charmaine Hammond today on DogWorks Radio. She is an author as well as a radio show host here on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Positive Radio, right?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
So she's also calling in from Alberta, Canada, Alberta, Canada, as well as it is up here in Willow today. You can even hear the rain through our headphones here in Willow. So I think it's really coming down out there.
It is. And for those of you who think that the station is giving you some static or some poor feedback on the podcast, it's not. We have a metal roof on our 40-year-old cabin, and it is a beautiful sound today. So revel in it with us as we hear the raindrops falling and we continue our interview with Charmaine.
So Charmaine, brand new book coming out called Toby the Pet Therapy Dog Says Be a Buddy, Not a Bully. Tell us a little bit about that. It's brand new, just released in the last few days through Amazon.
That's correct. It's coming out in print format. And this book was also inspired by the work I did with Toby. We used to go to schools and do presentations about Toby's story and his lessons about kindness, friendship, and acceptance. And one of the children in the audience one day shouted out that we needed to have a kid's book and that it should be about being a buddy, not a bully. And I thought, wow. That's a great title. So off I went to write the second children's book. The first one was called Toby the Pet Therapy Dog and His Hospital Friends, and that was about the work that he did in hospitals, and we just changed the characters to be children so that little kids in kindergarten to grade three could really embrace the story. So this book is really about some lessons for children of the importance of kindness, friendship, respect, and being a buddy, not a bully.
You know, Charmaine, Michelle and I are working on our first children's book as well called A Musher's Dream, Team Ineke, and it's going to be released later on in the summer. But, you know, I find it kind of tough to write for little kids. Ours is at about the same age group as your new book. How did you find that fit in? You know, it's a lot different writing for little kids than it is for a broader audience, whether it be, adult pet owners or, like you said, corporate clients that are reading about lessons that our dogs can teach us.
That's so true. That was one of my biggest learnings, actually, was how to write for little children. And I think the first children's book that I wrote, we probably did about 14 rounds of edits, which was basically my editor and my publisher working with me to help simplify the story. Not only was it too long, but it was written for adults, but in children's language. So I really needed to go back at it and rewrite the book. So with the first book, I kind of learned some of the techniques of writing for children. What I did with the second book is I remembered myself standing in front of hundreds of kids in a gymnasium when we would go to the schools and do presentations. And then I would say to myself, how would I frame this when I have all these children with their big bright eyes looking at me and listening? And so I actually would talk my book. I would sit at my computer and I would talk and then type what I've said, because I found that I communicate verbally with children on their level. But when I kind of come from my head, typing something to the computer, it's written more for an adult. So that's how I learned how to write for kids, was to say my story and then type it out.
You know, one of the funnest processes that I think is involved in a children's book is the illustrations. We're working with an awesome illustrator with our book. How has that process worked out for you? Obviously, I haven't had a chance to look at this new book of yours, but do you have illustrations in there? And what kind of story do they tell on their own?
I love the illustrations. And the book is really a book of love, because the illustrator is my best friend, Roseanne Previck. We met when we were 5 years old, and we've been lifelong friends. I know, and she's such a talented artist, and did a beautiful job of bringing Toby's character to life, but also the children's character to life in the story. And her illustrations, in fact, were so powerful that when we got the illustrations back, we were able to take out some of the text that we had, because her pictures showed the story. I didn't need to tell the story. She showed it so beautifully.
So I'm sure Michelle has a question or two where we're at right now, but my first question to you in regard to the book is, I guess it's more of a comment that we can expand upon a little bit. You know, that whole bully mentality, especially in the younger kid in schools, is prevalent today. It's becoming quite a problem. Why the focus? Why did you go down that road? Because it is kind of a touch subject.
Yeah, it's a tough subject, and it's an important subject. And part of my passion for writing about this topic goes back to my very, very first career. 20-some-odd years ago, I worked as a correctional officer in correctional facilities with adults and then with young offenders. And one of the things that I saw in my work back then was that a lot of the inmates and a lot of the youth that were incarcerated started out their violence by being aggressive to animals. And we really saw that pattern when we would do our case studies with the different clients. So that had always been in my mind. And in my professional career as a trainer and a speaker for many, many years, I've been presenting on the topics of conflict resolution and creating safe, respectful workplaces that are bully-free. So that's been a conversation I've been involved in for the last 20 years. And then with Toby, we saw how his story engaged children in important conversations. And there was something really rich about having a dog in the room while we talked about important topics. So I wanted to be able to try and make a difference in preventing bullying and to helping children develop great boundaries and good character development, and also to learn not to be a bystander. Because, of course, when they get into grade 6 and grade 7, some of the behaviors are already ingrained. So I want to teach children how to find their voice and let someone know that if they were being bullied, that behavior is not okay.
Charmaine Hammond, an author and radio show host, as well as a public speaker and corporate trainer, she's talking about her brand new book, Toby the Pet Therapy Dog Says Be a Buddy, Not a Bully. Michelle, you have a question or comment in regards to the whole bully thing and you know, the problems that it can occur?
Well, you know, we have three children. I'm going to age us. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Our oldest is 21. Then our son Kyle is 21, our son Tyler is 18, and our daughter is turning 16 in July. And, you know, they were born in the 90s, and, you know, they span the 90s, 92 through 97. And they're the generation that all of this bullying really started coming to a head, and the schools really started trying to educate the parents about being bully aware and that it's something that is not going to be tolerated. Of course, tragic events like Columbine occurred the year my daughter was born, and so on and so forth. But Robert and I, our generation, we grew up with Lisa, you know, everybody did, but we're kids of the 70s and 80s, and if somebody picked on us, we either handled it ourselves on the schoolyard or a friend of ours handled it for us. And, you know, I'm not going to advocate violence, but I will say that my opinion on bullying is kind of skewed. I don't allow my children to be bullied. I have them try to talk it out first, find alternate solutions. But if that person is going to continue to bully you and it's going to come to a point where they touch you and push you and hit you, they're going to stand up for themselves and handle it. And that goes against a lot of the school rules and things. But I agree with her observation when she was a corrections officer with the kids abusing their pets and things. In my job as a service dog trainer and a therapy trainer, I deal with a lot of psychiatric medical personnel and doctors and nurses and things, and they report to me the same thing. I don't know how to teach the parents how to teach the child responsibility with a pet when that child has the tendency to be abusive to the pet. So I hope this book kind of addresses those types of situations, because sometimes it stems not just from the child being abusive to the pet. If you're talking about a third grader on up, they've been not taught how to handle a pet or another person by the parents. It really needs to come back down to teaching parents how to teach your child to be responsible for another living thing, even if it's just a plant.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's so important, teaching those values of acceptance, of respect, and the value that people and animals have. That's such an important life skill. And a lot of it, I think, starts with how we're showing up in our family. One example, what we were speaking at a school a few years ago, and there was a little guy in the audience. He was just adorable, but we were talking about the importance of not saying disrespectful, mean things to people. These were kids in grade 1 and 2, and the little boy stood up and he said, "My mom says mean things every time Auntie Nancy phones. She rolls her eyeballs and says, 'Here we go again,' and then she phones my other auntie and says mean things about her." And little things like that, like family members gossiping about other family members, the impact on children is that they think that behavior is okay, but it also creates a lot of discomfort. And sometimes little children don't know how to deal with that emotional turmoil that they're facing.
I totally agree there as well. And, you know, like we've talked about throughout the show, how an introduction to a pet or a therapy dog or something like that breaks barriers. It allows children and adults to be able to sit down and open up. I think that's such a marvelous and miraculous tool that we have at our disposal if we do have a dog, like you mentioned with Toby and the work that Michelle does with therapy dogs. They are often that bridge that allows folks to open up and talk.
Absolutely. And I remember when we used to take Toby into the hospital, even though these were adults, one of the things that struck me was that the patients took great pride in being part of his care. So when we arrived, one of the patients would immediately go and get the jug of water for Toby if we were going outside with the water bowl. Another patient would go and grab some serviettes or some paper towels in case we needed those. Another patient would ask if they could just brush Toby for a few minutes. And we really talked about the importance of caring, that physical care for animals. And that really got me thinking about how important those messages are to teach to children in our families. So even though feeding the dog and taking the dog is just something we do in the family, if we can put the teaching behind it about why it's so important and how much food our dog needs to eat to be healthy, how much exercise our dog or cat will need, and what type of exercise is good exercise. Those are important learnings for children to become aware of that whole concept of caring for somebody else.
You know, Charmaine, I agree 100%. And not only is it good teaching for them to learn how to care for someone else or something else, it really does incorporate good, healthy habits in them, especially the young children.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Charmaine and Michelle, I'm going to go out on a limb here and ask you guys a question, and it's going to go in the bully context a little bit, and working with therapy dogs, so it may be a little bit off topic in terms of the book, but Charmaine, let's start with you. What do you think about when a therapy dog goes in to visit an individual that has some type of issue, whether they are the bully or they have some type of mental health issue, et cetera, and they are lashing out in one way or another, then the therapy dog comes in to visit them. Do you think that has lasting effects, or do you think that it's only momentary while the dog is there and you see the change? Do you think that those visits span the visit? So if a dog comes in on Monday, you know, and visits this individual, then they don't come back for a couple of weeks. Do you think that that therapy is working when the dog isn't there?
I really believe it does, Robert. I think that's a great question and one that a lot of people think about. And the reason why I say yes to that is two examples. One was 3 years after we visited a school, we were at a school for an hour and a half with Toby doing a presentation. I got a Facebook message from this little guy and his mom talking about how important Toby was in this little boy's life. I mean, he talked about Toby all the time. So that hour and a half made a difference. It challenged this little guy to think about things differently. But we also had a number of patients in the hospital that would make comments like, Wednesdays are the best day of the week. And one example was we had a patient who was so shy and couldn't set boundaries with other people. So she would give people money and cigarettes and even her personal belongings because she was too afraid to say no. And she spoke in such a timid voice. And, of course, Toby, when he's outside playing, wouldn't even acknowledge her because she was speaking so quietly. We taught the patient to speak more assertively so that Toby could hear that she was actually speaking to her. And over the course of a few months, the staff at the hospital said that she was finding her voice and she was able to say no to patients when they would ask her for her cigarettes or her money or whatever they wanted from her. So that was working when we weren't there.
Very cool. Michelle, what is your comment on that in terms of the therapy spanning between visits?
Well, with therapy, it typically doesn't span two whole weeks. If you're a therapy team and you've been given an assignment, you are there weekly. And it's always the same day of the week at the same hour because the patient comes to expect it. And that's part of the therapy that the doctor has prescribed for that person as well, because it's like a dose of medicine. And there are patients, it depends on the severity of their issues, whether they be mild mental stability issues or major psychiatric issues. People come to expect it like a medicine. So if you are if you are noticing that person is more stable after the visit, they may start to show signs of certain levels of agitation or irritation just prior to the visit coming around again. And the doctors will take notes of that. The nurses will take notes of that. And they'll say to the therapy company, such as mine, hey, can you get another person to visit Mrs. Johnson twice a week instead of just once a week? We're really seeing some breakthrough things happening in her medical situation. So the doctors now, you know, therapy has been around for a long, long time, but the psychiatric world is really starting to see how they can utilize it as a medicinal type of prescription for their patients. And some of them are going outside of using therapy and just asking for a full-time service dog for their patients. And it is because of the level of help that the person is receiving from the dog or the cat or the horse or whatever animal that it is that is visiting them. So I think that, you know, Charmaine and I are in a perfect world at a perfect time for the medical field is catching up with what we've all known our whole lives. Pets do make a huge difference for everyone that they touch.
Mm-hmm. Charmaine, any comment to Michelle there?
Well, I think that's so true. And the impact that animals have on people, I mean, they're so present. An animal shows up, there's no judgment. They're just present, and they're there for that person. And that is such a powerful gift for people. And I know that I'm hooked on the whole role as a volunteer therapy dog assistant. I call myself the assistant because the dog really does the work. So I know that when we do bring in another dog into our life, we will definitely participate in their therapy program.
We're talking to Charmaine Hammond, the author of a brand new book, Toby, the Pet Therapy Dog Says, Be a Buddy, Not a Bully. Charmaine, we've talked about a lot of topics here and some topics that that can find their way to be a little bit difficult sometimes, but we want your book to be an inspiration to those little ones that read it. How does it help in that area? How does it, you know, they're sitting down, they're looking at all of their picture books, as little kids call them, and here they are, they pick up the Toby book. How is it supposed to help them at least, you know, bring a smile to their face, you know, tell that story that's really going to help them out?
Great question. Well, the book really starts off with Toby going into a classroom to get a friendship award. He's being presented with an award from the school for being a buddy, not a bully. And that creates a conversation in the class with Toby there around what is a bully and what is bullying behavior, and more importantly, what can children do if they're approached by a bully or if they see somebody else being bullied. And so in the story, in the book, the children and myself and the teacher are having a conversation about how children can cope with these situations. And then there's also the underlying message of the importance of acceptance and non-judgment. So a lot of times children are learning judgment and sort of very strong opinions based on what they see on TV, based on what they see and hear at home. And so the story teaches children to be able to have friendships that are based on respect, kindness, and acceptance. And at the end of the story, there's a little bit of a homework exercise where the children are challenged to go away and participate in a random act of kindness activity.
You know, that's a great way to keep people engaged, especially little ones, after they read the book. And I know one of your sample questions that you mentioned is what can be helpful to families and folks in the classroom. I think that's a great way to do it. What is that pay it forward type example that you're talking about? How can folks get involved in their community in a way that you talk about in your book?
We give some examples, and these were examples that children gave me when we used to go do presentations with Toby, so I didn't even have to create the examples. The children gave them to us, and we would ask in real life, what does kindness look like, and what kind of activities could you do to show kindness to an animal or to a family member, a friend, or a community member? So the children came up with things like simple things, like holding the door open for somebody and smiling and saying good morning, but also about showing your pet that you love him or her and doing things to make sure that the pet knows that he or she is cared for, and also participating in the community in a way that makes the community a better place.
You know, that, I think that message is much more profound than a lot of things that our kids are taught in school today. You know, you can learn as much as you can about reading, writing, and arithmetic, but if you don't teach the kids today how to not only take care of themselves but also take care of their community, we're going to be in a rough place in a few years, I think.
I couldn't agree more. And in fact, when we think of the word literacy, I was just reading a report the other day, and the Canadian government actually defines literacy, and I think this is actually throughout the U.S. as well, as much more than just reading, writing, comprehension. It's really about having those skills that help people be successful in life. So those skills are ones like being able to relate to one another, being able to communicate and solve problems, being able to work collaboratively and on a team with other people. So that was the approach we took with the book as well, trying to provide information through the story that would help children build important life skills.
You know, if I can just add in there to that, I think that the dogs, especially in therapy roles for young children, really do help kids learn how to read body language. And I know that with the people that I work with, that's one of the number one things that we have problems with as dog trainers, with even adults. They cannot identify simple body language in human beings, let alone a pet. So I think that it really does help when we have books like yours and we have situations like mine where we can educate the public and the children especially about body language. You know, body language is a big thing. You know, somebody might be identified as a bully, but maybe that child's just not having a good day. Maybe they had something that they dealt with that morning at the breakfast table, or not even at the breakfast table, and it carried through, and somebody just needed to say, hey, how you doing today? you know, we have to learn how to teach the kids when somebody's just had a bad day and they just maybe need a hug or a, hey, how's it going?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And in fact, as a trainer in the workplace, I see that all the time where somebody else sort of blow up at somebody else. And really, it wasn't intended to be that way. The person had had something go on minutes before this second conversation, and they said something that they regret and had to take back. And when there's that opportunity to have a conversation and let people apologize or right the situation, the relationship can be restored. And that's part of the hope with the book, is that children will also learn problem-solving skills, so that if a situation crops up that maybe isn't a bullying situation but is more like a conflict, that children will have the confidence and the skills to be able to work it through so that it doesn't escalate.
Totally agree there. What a great message that you're sharing, especially to our young kids. You know, it starts there. You know, it's tough to fix things that are broken many, many years later, especially if they grow up in a not so good household, so to speak. You know, we have about 8 minutes left, Charmaine, and I want to get to two things. The second part of this is how we find out more about you and your work, as well as where we can get the book. But first, tell us about Team Toby, your new mission that you guys are taking part in here in the next coming weeks.
Well, we are on a big mission. Team Toby is our new, our revised brand, our new brand, and it stands for Positively, of course, spelled P-A-W, Positively Improving Lives by Teaching Kindness, Acceptance, and Respect. And that will involve a 10-city North American tour. So we'll be going out in 2013, 2014 to 10 major cities and doing several types of activities. One day we'll be in the schools with elementary school-age children talking about the books, but also talking about these concepts that we're teaching. And then the second day we'll be working in workplaces, sharing some of the same stories, but of course in an adult way. And then we'll also spend a day providing service to animal shelters and rescue organizations and therapy programs. And then we'll have a big community event where people can join us. And that'll have a real philanthropy slant to it as well. We are really looking forward to this and excited about the reception that we're starting to get from people as we're sharing it.
You know, it sounds like a rock band getting ready to go on tour. Do you have any cities lined up already?
We do. We're going to be looking at, in Canada, it'll be Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. And then in the States, we're still working some of them through, but we'll be coming to Denver and New York and L.A., and then we are just working out the other states. And I think it'll be 11 tours that we'll do all together, 11 major cities.
You know, I'm really glad to hear that you're coming to Denver. You know, Robert and I lived there for 15 years, and a lot of people don't realize Denver is pretty diverse for a Rocky Mountain city.
They are.
I can't wait to be there. I've never been there, and I've heard wonderful things about it, and I know there's lots of dogs there, so I'm excited about that.
There are lots of dogs. You let us know if you need a restaurant
recommendation.
Recommendation.
I will.
So Charmaine Hammond is our guest today, talking about her brand new book, Toby, the Pet Therapy Dog Says Be a Buddy, Not a Bully. How do we find out more about you and your work, as well as where we can buy the new book when it is available, both in print and as an ebook through Amazon, et cetera?
Great, thank you. The book's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in Canada at Chapters and Kohl's Indigo. And certainly people can go to their local bookstore, and if they don't have it in, they can get that ordered in for them. And to follow us, probably the best way is our website, ontobysterms.com, and Toby is spelled T-O-B-Y. And, of course, we're on Facebook with the same handle, On Toby's Terms, and on Twitter with that same handle.
So one last question in regards to the new way of people communicating. I ask this a lot on this show about how social media helps us spread the message, whether we're radio show hosts or speakers as yourself. How are you dealing with, or how are you bringing in that social media concept that is so prevalent today?
You know, I'm loving social media, and I gotta say, I was a resistor at the beginning. My dog had a Facebook page before I did, and I kind of resisted social media. But it's been a really big part of us sharing our message, not only through Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, and YouTube, but it's also been a way of building a relationship and staying in conversation with people who are interested in our message. And some really interesting ways that we've found that we can now use social media is when we've been doing presentations to high schools, we can actually get permission from the school to let the youth, the students, pull out their iPhone or their cell phone while we're there, and they can text us questions. And what's so interesting is that they would never put up their hand in a gymnasium of 700 students and ask the question, but the questions just flood in by text.
What a great way to engage your audience. Charmaine, we're hearing a little bit of static. It could be this 40-year-old cabin and our internet. So we are going to close, if you don't mind. It has been a pleasure, as always. You're welcome to be on DogWorks Radio at any time. Charmaine Hammond, the author of a brand new book called Toby, the Pet Therapy Dog Says, Be a Buddy, Not a Bully. Her website is on Toby's Terms, ontobysterms.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you very much, Charmaine. Enjoy your weekend down there in Alberta. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you both. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Charmaine Hammond is our guest on behalf of my co-host, Michelle. We'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.